It's time for All Things Northwest with Northwest Missouri State University President Dr. John Jasinski. Each month, Dr. Jasinski visits with community and educational leaders about exciting developments and collaborations happening throughout our region. Support for All Things Northwest comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, promoting the community, supporting business development, and growing opportunity for Northwest Missouri. The NCED Business Support Team is at your service. More at nottoway.biz. Support also comes from the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park features the Seacrest 18 Golf Course and the Watson 9 Executive Course. More information about Mazingo's golf offerings and tee times is available at mazingolake.com. And now, the 10th president of Northwest Missouri State University, Dr. John Jasinski.
Welcome to this month's edition of All Things Northwest, a show devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We here at Northwest Missouri State University and your public radio partners, KXCV, KRNW, trust you are ready for spring. We are, that's for sure. We'll provide two segments in this March 2019 edition of our show. In segment one, we feature Michael A. Carr. He's the president and CEO of the Battleship Missouri Memorial Association and the state of Missouri's lieutenant governor. That's Governor Mike Kehoe. We'll discuss the historic significance of the USS Missouri Battleship and its recent 75th commissioning celebration. In segment two, we feature Allison Hoffman, the Director of Student Academic Success and Retention right here at Northwest Missouri State University. We'll discuss Northwest's focus on student success and our recent selection as part of a national grant initiative focused on student success. Thanks for joining the All Things Northwest team, and please enjoy this month's edition. To begin, I welcome Michael A. Carr and Governor Mike Kehoe. Mike Carr serves as President and Chief Executive Officer of the USS Missouri Memorial Association. Since joining the association in 2008, Carr has led the Battleship Missouri Memorial to its most successful years and positioned the iconic historical attraction to expand its reach within Hawaii by generating increased interest from both westbound and eastbound visitors. A former U.S. Army officer, Carr has been a Hawaii business executive and has been active in local community organizations since 1977. State of Missouri Lieutenant Governor Kehoe was appointed to his position on June 18, 2018. Prior to serving as Lieutenant Governor, then-Senator Kehoe represented the 6th Senatorial District, covering 7 mid-Missouri counties. First elected in 2010 and re-elected in 2014, Kehoe served as the Assistant Majority Floor Leader for 2 years and the Majority Floor Leader for 3 years. Along with numerous honors as a legislator, he has won numerous awards as a businessman, including the Time Magazine Quality Dealer Award, Ford's President Award, and induction into the Automotive Hall of Fame, just to name a few. Community service is part of the Kehoe tradition as well, and he was born in St. Louis. Governor Kehoe and his wife Claudia have called Mid-Missouri home for more than 25 years and are the proud parents of 4 children. To begin, I welcome Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe and Michael Carr. Welcome, gentlemen, to All Things Northwest.
Thanks for having us on, Dr. Jasinski. Hi, and this is Mike Carr. Lots of mics here. Happy to be here.
Well, we so much appreciate it. We appreciate you guys talking about a significant piece of the state of Missouri's history. And I'd like to provide a visual for our listeners before I start the questioning. The USS Missouri faces the sunken USS Arizona at Ford Island, Pearl Harbor, just 400 yards from the Arizona Memorial. That's the visual. The Arizona and Missouri memorials are symbols, respectively, of the beginning and the end of World War II for our United States of America. The Missouri's bow faces the Arizona Memorial, and that was intended to convey that Missouri watches over the remains of Arizona so that those interred within Arizona's hull may rest in peace. That's the visual for our listeners. There's a lot to talk about, the history, the present day, and the future. Mr. Carr, Michael Carr, I'll start with you. This past January 29th, the USS Missouri celebrated its 75th anniversary of its launch from the New York Navy Yard. Can you tell us what took place to kind of build the USS Missouri?
Well, the Missouri took 3 million man days to build. The keel was actually laid in January of 1941, before the attack on Pearl Harbor. but was launched, as you said, on January 29th, 1944. The blueprints for the ship weighed 150 tons. It was an incredible piece of engineering. Of course, all the Iowa-class battleships are pretty much the same. The Missouri, though, was the very last one built and launched, and actually was the last battleship ever commissioned by the United States. Ship went on to serve in the Pacific at the end of World War II, and of course is most famous as the site of the surrender of Japan on September 2nd, 1945, on the decks of the ship with General MacArthur signing for the Allied powers, and Admiral Nimitz signing for the United States. And we will be celebrating the 75th anniversary of that event in September of next year.
Well, and Michael Carr, you talk a lot about, you know, that rich history, well, really the building of the ship and a little bit of that history. It is a rich history, and really it's a question for both Lieutenant Governor Kehoe and Michael Carr yourself. That rich naval history is the USS Missouri, but it's highly decorated. Can both of you talk about the history a little bit more in detail and your impressions of the battleship Missouri's military action, before we talk about the celebration and all that, really a little bit more about the history and the military actions.
Okay. Well, the ship participated in the invasion of Iwo Jima and then the Battle of Okinawa. Okinawa was one of the most horrific battles that the Americans fought in during World War II, because we were actually invading Japanese territory at that point. It was during the Battle of Okinawa that the ship came under attack by kamikazes, and on April 11th, 1945, that's a very famous story about the ship, because they actually recovered the pilot's body, and the crew was ready to just toss it overboard, but the captain of the ship, William Callahan, said, no, we're going to give this young man a proper burial, and I think it speaks to the fact that, you know, in his case, he was determined that they would not lose sight of the humanity that makes us all equal, even in the midst of the horrors of war. So after the war, World War II ended, the ship went on to serve in the Korean War, actually provided the covering fire for the invasion of Incheon in late 1950, which kind of turned the tide of that war around. And then she was decommissioned in 1955 and sat for 30 years in Bremerton, Washington, until 1986, when she and all the other Iowa-class battleships were brought back to life by Ronald Reagan, when they increased the size of the Navy's fleet up to 500 or 600 ships. And soon thereafter, the Berlin Wall fell, and the ships, because they were absurdly expensive to maintain and operate, were quickly decommissioned. But right about that time, Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, and so they stopped the decommissioning of the Wisconsin and the Missouri, and we went on to serve in Operation Desert Storm, which was the liberation of Kuwait. And the Missouri actually fired the first shots in that war, firing Tomahawk missiles into Baghdad. The ship then, its last official duty was to be the centerpiece for the 50th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor in December of 1991. And subsequent to that, she was decommissioned in March of 1992, the last battleship ever decommissioned in the world.
Michael Carr, thank you. You know, obviously that history is so rich across decades. Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe, we'll talk about the commemoration and all of that in just a few minutes. But as you did your research to go to Pearl Harbor and really think through the history of the USS Missouri, what stood out for you?
Well, Dr. J, I will tell you, this is, as you know, I've been very blessed in life and had a lot of unbelievable experience. But I would tell you my relationship with Mike Carr and the Missouri is a whole new chapter in my book, in my words. So before I went over, I had an interesting story. I actually told it on the deck of the ship during the anniversary. I have a World War II Korean War Marine neighbor who's 92 years old, who lives next to our farm, and we take care of him, and he's like one of our family. I know about every war story he's had, but I didn't hear one of them until I told him I was going over to Hawaii to represent the state of Missouri at the 75th anniversary. And this is a crusty old Marine that's as tough as nails, who still thinks he's a sergeant in the Marine Corps. And he looked at me and he said, I was in Incheon, Korea in September of 1950 when she provided cover for me. Man, that would just hit me like you can't believe. And it was a very cool moment. And I told that story on the deck of the Missouri, but then he went on, he started laughing. He said, those 16-inch shells, they sound like locomotives going over the top of your head. And, you know, when you, obviously I'm aware of the Missouri's history. I had been on the Missouri just as a private citizen several years ago. My wife and I were over there. I was dying to get on it and see it. And I just took a tour just as an average guy walking around and fell in love with it. So I was honored to come back. So I know the history of the Missouri. I knew all of the historic things that she had done, from the surrender of Japan to firing the first shots in the Gulf War, to being the last Iowa-class battleship, A, launched and then decommissioned. But you really put a personal touch to it when a fellow Missourian sits there and tells you that that ship provided cover for he and his Marines when they invaded Incheon, and specifically says in September of 1950, that brings what the Missouri has done for our country right back home in a way that it's very hard to describe.
And what a poignant, poignant story. And that really hits home about the history of this battleship. Mike Carr, our listeners of All Things Northwest on KXCB KRNW, should know that the mission of the USS Missouri Memorial Association is dedicated to preserving the battleship Missouri and sharing her story and place in history. And the vision of the association is to make the battleship Missouri Memorial a world-class experience that inspires, educates, and motivates all nationalities and generations on the universal values of duty, honor, strength, resolve, sacrifice, and peace. Mike Carr, you hosted the celebration for the occasion of its 75th anniversary of commissioning on January 26th, 2019. Please tell our listeners about the celebration and what you wanted to accomplish.
Well, obviously we want to bring honor to the ship and to all the crewmen who served on that ship throughout the decades. We had a brief ceremony at 7:30 in the morning on that day, because the anniversary date of the ship every year is our living history day, where the public is invited for free to the ship, and we have all kinds of displays and exhibits and, of course, music and food. And so we needed a space where we were having our ceremony fairly quickly. So we had about a half an hour event. Lieutenant Governor Kehoe spoke. Lieutenant Governor Josh Green of Hawaii spoke. And the commander of the submarine USS Missouri, which is also homeported in Pearl Harbor, Commander George Howell, also spoke, and it was an honor to have the officers and crew of the USS Missouri serve as side boys and participate in the ceremony, along with some of the officers and crew of the USS Jefferson City, which is also homeported in Hawaii. So, you know, for me, the opportunity to connect with the people of the state of Missouri and let them know how well we're taking care of their namesake ship is an honor. And that's why I'm here right now, actually, going around and meeting with people and talking about the mission of the ship and what we're doing to preserve and restore her.
Well, I know the citizens of Missouri are so thankful to you and all those that are part of it to not just help commemorate and celebrate, but also upkeep. Lieutenant Governor Kehoe, you were one of the invited guests on January 26th. You spoke at the celebration program. First, why you? Second, please give us your insights of that day being aboard the Missouri, you know, bow to bow with the USS Arizona Memorial, and really the importance of the USS Missouri to the state of Missouri, which you already alluded to a bit, but maybe you can expand a little bit more. So why you? What about the day and the importance?
Well, it was a fantastic day. And why me? Because I'm lucky, Dr. J. Governor Parson would love to have been at this ceremony. He has been on the Missouri before. He was there at a very historic moment about a year earlier when the SSN 780, which is the current Missouri submarine, Virginia-class attack sub, came into the harbor for the first time with the current Missouri, in the background was the battleship Missouri. And Governor Parson was very, he was very much, you know, emotionally affected by that whole process and believes that our namesake ship should be well taken care of the best we could. So I guess thankfully he wasn't able to go, so I got to go on his behalf, which was truly an honor, along with my wife. And what we tried to do, Dr. J, is we tried to make sure we tied Missouri, just as President Truman did when they launched a ship back into the 75th anniversary. So, for instance, I brought out a piece of Missouri limestone. You've been down here. You're seeing us remodel our Capitol. I took a piece of that stone that we were not able to use in the remodel process that was 100 years old. I had our state's motto in Latin, which is Salus Populus Esto, engraved on the stone. And that translated into English is that the will or the safety of the people should always be supreme. Along with the battleship's number, BB-63, I was honored to be able to present that to the ship to put in their wardroom. And then also we brought out Herman Champagne, or sparkling wine, which is what Harry Truman used 75 years earlier. His 19-year-old daughter, Margaret, took a bottle of Herman, Missouri sparkling wine to christen the ship with. We brought out from Stonehill Winery, the Held family, a case of sparkling wine from Herman, Missouri, to kind of rechristen or re-celebrate this moment. So we tied Missouri back into it, just as Harry Truman did 75 years earlier, just to make sure that the folks not only there touring the boat that day, but Missourians, as we let them know what we were doing, understood the importance of our namesake ship, even though it's 4,000 miles away.
What a fantastic day it sounds like, and I know it's a great visual for our listeners of All Things Northwest. And, you know, here it is, one of the most powerful weapons systems of all time, one of the most historic platforms for peace ever. And you gentlemen kind of brought it to life, if you will. If you don't mind, both of you, and for our listeners of All Things Northwest, I'd like to provide just a little bit of context relative to the history of the battleship and the ship's last day. You provided me a little bit of pre-reading materials, and some of those materials talked about the words from Captain Albert L. Cass. Is that right, Mike Carr? Is it Cass?
Lee Case.
Albert Lee Case? Is that
what? Hey, Case was his,
okay.
his last
got
name.
It. The following words are from Captain Albert Lee Case. On March 31, 1992, Case was the ship's last commanding officer. Case wrote in the ship's final plan of the day, I quote, our final day has arrived. Today, the final chapter in Battleship Missouri's history will be written. It's often said that the crew makes the command. There is no truer statement, for it's the crew of this great ship that made this a great command. You are a special breed of sailors and Marines, and I'm proud to have served with each and every one of you. To you who have made the painful journey of putting this great lady to sleep, I thank you, for you have had the toughest job to put away a ship that has become as much a part of you as you are to her is a sad ending to a great tour. But take solace in this. You have lived up to the history of the ship and those who have sailed her before us. We took her to war, performed magnificently, and added another chapter in her history, standing side by side our forerunners in true naval tradition. God bless you all. Words from the commanding officer in 1992. Gentlemen, Mike and Mike, we'll call you both that. The ship has a rich history, one that should and must be commemorated. Describe your thoughts in hearing the captain's words from March of 1992.
Well, I had the honor of knowing Captain Case and meeting him several times when he came and visited the ship. He believed to his core that this ship had a soul. And I mean, so I'm sure most people who serve on ships kind of have a soft spot in their heart for the ships that they've served on. But the crewmen of the ship that I've met all have a special bond with this ship. And it's different from any other crewmen of any other ships that I've encountered. Captain Case just passed away this last July. He was the last battleship sailor. When the ship was decommissioned on that day, as is the captain's right and duty, he was the last man off the ship. and that made him the last battleship sailor, a title which he carried proudly until he passed away just this past year. He was a great man. He was actually the CO of the ship twice, because he was the CO of the ship when it was first being recommissioned in 1986, and then he had some health issues which he had to address. And then when his predecessor had some health issues of his own, Captain Case was brought back and became the last commander of the ship. So, you know, he's just one of the magnificent men who've served on this ship. A lot of people from the state of Missouri also served on this ship, and we're always honored to welcome them at the ship, and would be especially honored of any World War II crewmen from the ship who are listening to this program to please get in touch with us, because we will have the honor of inviting them to come back next year for the 20th anniversary and actually pay their way to come and visit the ship. So, yeah, that's what I have to say on that.
And Dr. J, I would just add that, you know, part of my reflection back on the ship, and I would agree with Mike Carr, and if I don't get a chance to say it, Mike Carr and his people have done an unbelievably fantastic job of preserving our history of our state on our namesake ship. I mean, you will be so unbelievably impressed when you or your listeners go over there to see this ship, which I hope they do. They just do a fabulous job. But I say to people that, you know, she served us well in war, and she has served us well in peace. And I will tell you, when you go through that ship and you hear the stories that has happened on that ship from World War II all the way back to the Gulf War, you will start to believe that ship has a soul as well. As a matter of fact, one of the tour guides that Michael introduced me to over there was on the ship for 3 years in Korea. I believe his name was Toby. And he was now a tour guide on the Missouri, you know, some 50 years later. And for him to personally take us around and tell us what he experienced when that ship was launching those shells in Incheon in 1950 and later, just to hear what it meant to him to be on board that ship and his love for that ship, and that here he is so many years, decades later, gone that ship giving tours of it. It just ties the whole thing together and how important that Missouri is to our country's history, to the world's history, and then, of course, to our namesake, Missouri. It's a fabulous asset for us to have, and Missourians should be very proud of it.
Well, what a great asset, and Lieutenant Governor, we'll talk about the peacetime mission as well. Mike Carr, the USS Missouri Memorial, recently underwent a major restoration project. Want to hear about that, and what should people of Missouri know about the current state of the USS Missouri and future restoration projects?
Well, you know, this is 45,000 tons of steel sitting in a saltwater, high humidity environment. So the work that we have to do to stay ahead of the rust never ends. Just a week or so ago, we signed a $3 million contract to restore the aft end of the superstructure. Now that we've done the forward side, which Governor Kehoe has seen, it looks magnificent, but now we've got to finish the rest of the superstructure. We're in the process of replacing all 50,000 square feet of teak deck on the ship. Those are the things that you see. What people don't see is all the work that we're doing, you know, below the waterline or down in the bottom of the ship to ensure that the hull of the ship is strong, because that's the key to the long-term preservation of this ship is hull integrity. We also have to go into dry dock again in about 10 or 12 years, and that by itself will cost us probably about $25 million. So we're very fortunate to have a successful business out there, but we can always use extra help.
Well, that's probably a great tie-in to my next question with Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe. Lieutenant Governor, from your visit, your vast knowledge of the battleship, which is very apparent, you know, what are some of your suggestions to the people of Missouri, surrounding states, the nation, and internationally, suggestions about the battleship and visiting and supporting?
Well, it's such a rich piece of our history. We need to make sure that Missourians understand the importance of us investing to make sure we take care of that namesake ship. It is absolutely imperative that we don't let this piece of history go for generations and generations to see, because you never want to let anybody forget how important our freedoms are and how important it is that we honor the men and women who have helped us keep these freedoms and enjoy the life. And the listening audience up in the great Northwest today is hearing all this and experiencing what they get to do every day because of the battles that our men and women have fought, and this ship in particular has played a part in. I'd also encourage listeners, Dr. J, to visit the website of ussmissouri.org. That's ussmissouri.org. And go online and take a look at what you can all see there. Not everybody, we understand, is going to be able to go see that ship where it's located. And you started to show off, and I would tell you, when you see that Arizona Memorial and that Missouri battleship in the same setting, it is an absolute goosebump moment. It just hits you like a wave from the ocean. But if you can't get there, and we understand people can't, certainly visit the website and take a look around the ship virtually, if you will. You will see that what Michael and his crew is doing, and what the governor and I hope to do with support of the legislature of Missourians, is continue to invest in that rich piece of history and never, ever, never let it out of our sight.
Well, I'll tell you what, gentlemen, I can say that on my family's behalf, my uncle was at Pearl Harbor. I've been there. I would encourage our listeners to partake, whether it be the website or when you get over there, that visual, as you say, Lieutenant Governor Kehoe, of USS Arizona, USS Missouri, is it's overwhelming, but the importance of preserving history and honor and service is what it's really all about. Mike Carr, any closing words from you?
Well, no, I will echo the governor's suggestion to go online to ussmissouri.org. There you can learn more about the history, see fantastic pictures, and if you're so inclined, donate online there and help us preserve this magnificent piece of American history.
We have to thank you for your service and all that you're doing, Mike Carr. Governor Kehoe, you've been in your present role now for about, 8 months, going on a year almost, but how do events like celebrating the USS Missouri really rank in your notebook as we close this segment?
Well, they rank in my all-time life notebook, Dr. J. Probably one of the most humbling experiences that I've ever had, and one of the proudest experiences I've had to represent Missouri. I would also remind your listeners that we have a replica of the Missouri, a small model here in our museum in the Capitol, and actually the ship's bell is also located here. So we continue to tie back components of the Missouri back to our state, specifically our state's capital. You know, the punch bowl set from the Missouri is actually in the governor's mansion. So if you tour the governor's mansion, you may be able to see that as well. So we want to make sure that we keep Missourians connected to our fabulous asset called the Battleship Missouri, BB-63. And I just hope folks will take time to look a little bit about its rich history and the lives that were sacrificed with her in the shadow of the looming battles to preserve our freedoms and that we enjoy today. So it's great to join you and the listeners in the great northwest corner of our state. I enjoy very much being up there as frequent as I can, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate the opportunity to just visit with you a little bit today.
Well, we thank you, Governor Mike Kehoe and Mike Carr. Thank you for joining All Things Northwest.
Thank you.
You bet.
We'll now go to break, and we'll then visit with Allison Hoffman, Director of Student Academic Success and Retention at Northwest Missouri State University. You're listening to All Things Northwest on KXCB Maryville, KRNW, Chillicothe.
Support for All Things Northwest comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, promoting the community, supporting business development, and growing opportunity for Northwest Missouri. The NCED Business Support Team is at your service. More at nottoway.biz. Support also comes from the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park features the Seacrest 18 Golf Course and the Watson 9 Executive Course. More information about Mazingo's golf offerings and tee times is available at mazingolake.com.
Welcome back to the March 2019 edition of All Things Northwest. I'm your host, John Jasinski. For our second segment, we'll visit with Allison Hoffman, Director of Student Academic Success and Retention here at Northwest Missouri State University. Longtime listeners know that Allison's been with us before on All Things Northwest. Currently in her 12th year at Northwest, Hoffman oversees academic advising and success coaching, academic support, orientation, first-year experience, and retention-related activities. Allison previously served as a senior instructor in the Booth School of Business, director of the university seminar program, and served as a provost fellow. Allison Hoffman is a recipient of the 2012 Outstanding Advising Award for Faculty Academic Advising from the National Academic Advising Association, also the 2012 Teaching Excellence Award from the Midwestern Council of Business Schools and Programs, and she's a two-time winner of the Dean's Award for Student Support. Allison is a proud Northwest alumna, having earned both her Bachelor of Science and Master of Business Administration degrees from the university, and is currently pursuing her Doctorate of Business Administration at the University of the Incarnate Word. Allison Hoffman, welcome back to All Things Northwest.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on. I'm excited to talk about our student success efforts on campus.
You bet. And, you know, the intro talks about your focus on student success since before you got to Northwest. Well, you've been at Northwest and certainly in your current role. But, Allison, as you say, our focus really is student success. Let's make sure our listeners first understand student academic success and retention team and the team that you oversee. Kind of describe for our listeners what the team does.
Yeah, we're really here to help students throughout their journey at Northwest. And so that can be anything from answering questions about the classes that they're in to connecting them with resources on campus to help them be successful, and even connecting to our experiences outside of the classroom as well. So we do tend to focus most on the academic side and helping students through the academic journey, but that does also include the co-curricular experience and helping students be successful in that arena as well.
And there's no question that as you describe the curricular side and the co-curricular for our listeners, you know, in the classroom experiences, out of the classroom experiences, and your team is focused on it all. Obviously, Northwest has done some good things over its lifetime. We're 114 years old, and, you know, our mission is to focus on student success, every student, every day. But we've been recognized. We've been recognized on the outside for our performance, retention, graduation, placement, and so on, student success. The American Association of State Colleges and Universities, ASCU for short, represents 400 like colleges, like Northwest Missouri State University, members, systems whose members share a learning and teaching-centered culture, and really share a historic commitment to underserved student populations and a dedication to research and creativity that advances their region's economic progress and cultural development. Those are ASCU institutions. That's Northwest Missouri State University. Listeners, Northwest is an ASCU institution, and for full disclosure, I should note that I serve on the ASCU Board of Directors. Allison, Northwest recently learned that we've been selected to be part of ASCU's Center for Student Success Initiative. Can you please tell our listeners about that?
Yeah, we are so excited for our selection to participate in ASCU's Center for Student Success Initiative. I think it's important to note that we have been really successful in some of our efforts on campus, but we know that there's always things that we can do better. And so what this is going to entail is focusing on kind of all aspects of that student experience and how to ensure that our students are not only staying at Northwest 1 or 2 years, but they're completing in the end. And that's really the focus, is for us to see those students, you know, walk across the stage at graduation and to get that job that they have been dreaming for. So what this is going to do is really allow us to take a closer look, an in-depth look at the different practices that we have on campus, ways that we can improve to maybe perhaps improve our completion rates and help students on a more timely path for their degree. And so we're excited about the work ahead of us. We know it's going to be hard work, but it's going to be great work too.
When I love the focus on, you know, it's one thing to focus on enrollment, and that's important. But at Northwest, it's not just getting them in the door, obviously. It's getting them through not just retaining from, say, freshman to sophomore, if you're a traditional undergraduate student, sophomore to junior, junior to senior, but also graduate in place and go on from there and be great community contributing citizens. Allison, you've been asked to kind of lead this initiative here. We're one of six institutions across the country that have been selected by AskU and the Gates Foundation in terms of this grant. It's a 15-month grant. Am I correct by that?
Yes, that's correct.
And so you talk about hard work. Let's, for our listeners, really get them to understand 15 months, we're trying to accomplish what, and who are we working with, and why are we doing that? So let's first talk about the what side. What's trying to be accomplished for AskU itself?
Yeah, so obviously AskU, as Dr. Jasinski said, is focused on access and also completion. And so they are taking six different institutions. Again, we're one of the six. And really looking at ways that we can ensure that the students that we bring in do complete and break down any barriers that students face in order to get to completion. And so going to work with these other five institutions. And then really the hope at the end is to be able to scale this to the larger AskU audience, to all of the 400 plus institutions that are part of AskU. And so when we look at it, we really look at the different categories that we're going to kind of work on. And so that's anything from guided pathways, which ensures that students are staying on their path to degree and that they're not taking a lot of extra credits or hours that they may not need, which are going to cost the student money and time. Again, both are things that we're trying to avoid as we work with students. Also going to look at digital learning and how students' learning needs have changed and how that digital piece really helps them to the end result of completion too. And then the student services side of it. And really that's where my team focuses a lot of their work and their effort is to figure out what are the changing needs of our students and how are we assisting them on that path to graduation, hopefully in the end. So we're, again, excited about it. Know that as soon as we get kind of into the next steps of the project, we're really going to have the boots on the ground and begin the hard work.
Well, Allison, interestingly, if I think back many decades and think about my experience as an undergraduate somewhere else, I could have used a program like this relative to getting me through, keeping me on that guided pathway and getting through successfully. But, you know, all jokes aside, you know, we're working with five institutions across the country. Tell us a little bit about the five institutions that are participating in the AskU project.
That's definitely one of the things I'm most excited about is the wide range of institutions that are participating in the project. So just to kind of provide for listeners who those are, we have Austin Peay State University in Tennessee. We have Bowie State in Maryland, Cal State San Bernardino, which is a fairly large institution. So again, we have institutions that are more similar to our size than some that are larger. And we also have SUNY Lehman College in the Bronx, New York, which are, if you think about our rural location versus the Bronx, New York, probably about as different as you can get. And then Henderson State University, which is probably a little more similar to us in terms of the type of institution. So we're excited to be able to see what some of these other institutions are doing well and how we can learn from them and then them also to look at what we're doing and how they can learn from us. So I think it's going to be a great network of peers and truly institutions working together with the end goal in mind and then scaling for the larger AskU.
Isn't it interesting
audience.
Though? Tennessee, Maryland, California, the Bronx, Arkansas, and now Maryville, Missouri, and what we're doing at Northwest. So institutions that are focused on students and student success, and that's what's exciting about the project. I know that the focus of the AskU project is really the pipeline, getting students through, but they have nine key areas they're focused upon. Allison, for our listeners, maybe high level, don't necessarily have to go through all nine, but what are the kinds of areas that AskU is focusing on the student success project?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I mentioned three of them with the pathways and the digital learning and then the advising and student support. And those are really key and kind of at the heart of the AskU project. But then other things factor into that. So developmental education, which is our students that maybe come to institutions institutions such as those of us participating in this that are a little bit underprepared from maybe some of the peers. So what kind of supports and things are we doing to help those students be successful and ensure that they can be successful on their path here at Northwest and at the other institutions? So that's one. Looking ahead, I also think about the policies and how our policies are structured on campus. Do students understand those policies? How can we better help to communicate those policies and make sure that they really understand what it means to have to take 120 hours to graduate, or how does the policy about dropping a class impact them later on for completion? So the policy piece is big. Information technology and institutional research are two other key areas, and we do use a lot of technology on our campus. I'm assuming that these other schools do as well, but maybe in a different way, so we can learn from them on how they're leveraging technology, data, analytics, and so on to help with the journey for completion and ensuring that students are successful as well. And then the last piece is really finance. And the finance piece is looking at how our institutions, such as those participating, using their resources to ensure that students can be successful. And so that's an important part. And I think we've always done a really good job at Northwest as our mission states. We focus on student success, every student, every day. So it truly is at the heart of what we do. But we're excited to see maybe if Ask You has some other suggestions or what we can learn from other institutions about those resources and the items that we provide to students.
Well, here it is, March 2019. It's a 15-month project. I know we got started here just at the beginning of the spring semester here. But as you think ahead to the next 12, 13, 14 months, 15-month project, but as you think ahead, mind's eye now, you know, how do you think Northwest will come out in the summer of 2020? Well, how will we benefit in Northwest students? How do you think they'll benefit as well as ASCU institutions?
Yeah, that's again, you've got some great questions here today, Dr. J. So I think when I look at it, again, I think we're doing a lot of things really, really, really well. But just in seeing what I've seen from ASCU in the last 2 months, I see that we can make some minor tweaks and things that can really make a difference for students and understanding the process and how you get through and you complete and why you want to focus on time to degree from the minute you step on campus. And so I see some little things that we can do, which will really, really help. And I think some of that is just communicating and making more of an emphasis on certain things from the start to the finish, instead of waiting a little bit and letting students ease into it. Sometimes then you don't have your mind or your eye on that final result or goal of graduation at the end. So I think there's some things that will be pretty minor, but I also think there's maybe some things that are going to be larger things to undertake or take on. And I'm excited about that work. It's always hard work, but it's so great to get the entire campus community involved as well. And I think whenever you bring the larger campus community into a project like this, it just provides a different perspective on the work that's happening maybe outside of Northwest and how that can benefit us here on campus too, and most importantly, benefit our students.
Allison Hoffman, we're talking to Allison about student success right here in All Things Northwest, KXCB, Maryville, KRNW, Chillicothe. Allison, you mentioned getting others involved, faculty and staff on campus, and their participation in the ASCU Center for Student Success Initiative. Maybe describe for our listeners how faculty and staff will be. It's not just Allison answering questions and meeting with people and a team, traveling and taking in visitors. It's really our faculty and staff being involved, right?
Yes, definitely. So back in February, we did send out, again, it's something that ASCU put together, and it's really part of the pilot. It's an assessment called the Institutional Transformation Assessment, or ITA, as we'll refer to it for short. And so that ITA actually went out to 100-plus people on campus, and it kind of allowed them to look at the areas that we talked about, so the advising and student support, the digital learning, the guided pathways, information technology, all of those, to answer some questions about that, to determine where we are and maybe where, again, we can focus on for areas of improvement. And so it really is about seeking out input from the entire campus community, because I may, in my lens, think we're doing something really, really well, but there may be, because I'm not in a certain school or department every single day, they may have suggestions which could help us do things even better. And so we do have representation from the campus, kind of all aspects of campus on our leadership team for this project. But then more importantly, when we break down into subgroups and we really get to doing the tougher work, if you will, then we'll be seeking the perspectives of faculty and staff throughout campus, and then having them take it back to their department or their school or their unit, talk about it and see, you know, what ideas and how things would impact if we implement this change. How's that going to impact this area? And we want to make sure that our campus community is ready to support the students in these new ways as well through this project.
Hey, Allison, I always talk to people about Ask You, the American Association of State Colleges and Universities, as being, the way I describe it, the workhorse of American education. 400 institutions that really just, they serve the students across the infrastructure of our country. And, you know, as you think about listeners of All Things Northwest, why should our listeners take note of our selection to be part of this select members of institution? Why should they take note of that selection and our participation in the initiative?
So I think, again, we've done some things really well. We do things really well. I think for listeners, though, this is a huge honor to be one of six institutions selected for this. Again, recognizing our commitment and our focus to helping our students be successful. There aren't many institutions that I know of that have student success at the core or the heart of every single thing they do. And we truly do at Northwest. And that's something that I get excited about every single day when I think about it. And I encourage my team, and I think Dr. J and other leaders on campus encourage their teams to think about, is this best for the student, or how does this benefit for the student? And we try to always kind of come back to that. So why it's important, though, is, again, those completion rates and getting students through, that's just going to help them be more prepared for the workforce and a quicker, you know, time to degree, which means saving money for the student, also means that talented young employees are going to be entering the workforce, and that's really, really key. So I think, you know, a lot of institutions would love to have this opportunity. We're so excited, not only for the work that we're going to do on campus, but also for the wonderful networking opportunities to learn from other institutions and to have all the resources available that Ask You is going to present to us through their involvement with the Gates Foundation too. So I think that just really the limits are a little bit endless, if you will, on what we can do and what we can accomplish from this project. And the innovation, I think, is another piece we're excited about, kind of thinking about innovation and change. And we're not, I think we're not okay with just where we're at. We want to be even better anytime we can. So we'll continue to work towards that, and excited about the next 12, 14 months here.
Well, Allison, we can't thank you enough for your leadership role in this Ask You initiative. We thank you for that, and we thank you for joining All Things Northwest.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap for this month's show. All Things Northwest is a program devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We thank our guests, Mike Carr and Governor Mike Kehoe from the state of Missouri, as well as Allison Hoffman. Thanks due to our producer, Austin Hall. He's a student here at Northwest Missouri State University. And thanks to KXCV General Manager Rodney Harris and all that he does for all of us. Friends, we here at Northwest focus on student success. You've heard that loud and clear on this program. Thanks for assisting us in enhancing our focus on students through your support of All Things Northwest, KXCV KRNW, and Public Radio. I'm John Chasinski. Take good care and keep celebrating and advancing our region.
Support for All Things Northwest comes from the City of Maryville and Nottoway County Economic Development. Theme music for the program was composed by Northwest professor Dr. William Richardson. The music was recorded by vocal music education major Jordan Andrews, piano, music major Daniel Bates, bass, audio and production major Mark Ludwig, drums, and Dr. William Richardson, trumpet. The program is produced by sports media major Austin Hall. Join us again next month for All Things Northwest.